This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak with Joe Simidian, California State Senator representing the Palo Alto area. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Nice to be with you again.
The last time we spoke in early June, your bill, SB 682, had passed the Senate and was on its way to the Assembly. Could you give us an update on what's been happening to it since then?
Well, we've had a couple of developments. The first is the bill is, I think, a more carefully crafted attempt to deal with the potential proliferation of RFID technology in government identity documents. What we've done now is sort of broken the bill out into three component parts. The first is a prohibition on skimming. That would be the unlawful acquisition of personal information from someone's RFID document without their knowledge or consent.
Which is currently not illegal because it's so technologically advanced, no one's gotten around to prohibiting it.
Well, that's right, and that has not been the most controversial part of the bill. The second part of the bill is to say that to the extent that California is going to use this technology or any of its local governments in government identity documents, that we need to put some privacy protections in place, and that those might include, for example, encryption, they might include authentication, they might include some other kinds of privacy protections, certainly a unique identifier rather than raw information that could be skimmed or otherwise read. But the second component part of the bill is to say, if we're going to use this technology, let's be smart about the way we do it. And the third piece of the bill is to say, you know, given both some of the technological uncertainties and, frankly, some of the privacy protection and big government concerns that still haven't been resolved, let's hold off on using RFID technology for the next 3 years in what are referred to as mass distribution documents. You know, it's one thing if it's a relatively modest number of documents that are perhaps provided on a local level, but it's another thing to start talking about literally millions of California driver's licenses or government benefit cards of some kind. So we would simply take a timeout for 3 years on any application that involved RFID and mass distribution documents. That would be the third piece of the bill.
Okay, now before we talk about the substance here, procedurally, is there still only one bill with three parts?
There's still only one bill. It has three parts. It has cleared the Assembly Judiciary Committee. It now has to go before our Assembly Appropriations Committee, and if it clears the Appropriations Committee, it goes to the Assembly floor, and that would be the second vote, the second key vote by the second house of the legislature.
Okay, and presumably these changes were made in the Judiciary Committee of the Assembly, so it would have to come back to the Senate for another vote?
That's right. If whenever there are amendments of this sort in the second house, you go back to the place you started, in my case that's the Senate, just to get confirmation there that the amendments are acceptable.
What are the prospects in the Appropriations Committee, which presumably doesn't deal with any of the substance, but just how much it's going to cost the state to implement it?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic. We do, of course, have a provision in the bill that says that existing systems are already grandfathered in, that those are protected in effect.
Are there many of those?
Well, there are, and they're at various states of technological sophistication. What we wanted to do was assure folks at the state and local level that they weren't going to have to incur any new costs for systems that were already in place. I, for example, have an identity card that I use to get into the California Capitol at any time of the day or night.
Right.
It has an RFID device inside. Nothing in the bill would require that technology change. And I think that that's going to be an important point in terms of assuaging people's concerns about the potential cost ramifications. The other concern, though, of course, is that we've had increased industry opposition as the bill has moved along. And
now, which industry is that exactly?
Well, it's the RFID industry, and I'm frankly disappointed because the more accommodations we make, the greater the opposition becomes in spite of those accommodations. And I think that's too bad. I think if the industry were smart, it would acknowledge the legitimate privacy concerns and security concerns that people have identified and work as a partner in addressing those. Unfortunately, the industry continues to mischaracterize the bill as a ban on the technology, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. This is simply a case of saying not every technology is appropriate for every application, and when it is appropriate to use a particular technology, let's be smart about how we do that and do it in a way that protects people's privacy.
Okay, what kind of organizing has there been on the other side? Is there a mass movement in support of what you're doing, or is
well, we
few,
have
a few groups? Or?
We have a wide-ranging group of supporters, and it's interesting how it has grown. It includes not just traditional privacy activists and folks on both sides of the political spectrum, privacy really hasn't been a liberal or conservative issue.
Right.
But we've also had women's groups, for example, who are concerned about the potential for someone to misuse this technology to stalk them or to put their personal safety at risk. We've had concern from seniors, from organized labor. A lot of folks in the labor world are familiar with RFID technology because they've seen it show up in their workplace. My bill doesn't address the private sector at all. It goes to that unique and particularly important place where we're talking about government identity documents. But it means that folks out there in the working world have already had some familiarity with the technology and understand both its good uses, which are many, and also the uses that raise some concern.
Now, the three-year period of moratorium for mass distribution cards seems very reminiscent of the three-year period that the Real ID Act, passed by the Congress recently, provides for states to come into compliance with that. What's the relationship between the Real ID Act and what it implies or requires states to do with their identity documents?
No connection at all, really. The goal here was to do two things in that three-year period. First, to the extent that we saw a greater use of RFID documents, let's see if the security precautions we put in place work. I mean, it's basically a look before you leap kind of an approach. Let's put some of these privacy protections in place, see how well they work or don't, before we even consider allowing any kind of a mass distribution document. The other thing to do in the next 3 years is have the conversation, which we really haven't had yet in California, and I don't think most places around the country have, about what are the privacy implications, what are the big government implications of issuing government identity documents with RFID. Do we really want the government to be in this position? I mean, there's a fundamental question that has to be asked and answered. Should California state government or local governments be in a position of compelling its residents to carry a government ID document that broadcasts their personal information without their knowledge or consent many times? I think the answer to that question is probably no, but I'm willing to say let's take a three-year timeout, if you will, look at that question, and also evaluate the privacy protections and security precautions that are also provided for in the bill.
Does this technology mean that even if it does reduce the broadcastable information to a unique identifier rather than provide access to any of the more privacy-oriented information, that the government could require people to essentially broadcast their location all the time anyway?
Well, even if you only have a unique identifier, while that's a help, it's not a cure-all. Let's remember that your Social Security number, for example, is a unique identifier.
Right.
You probably wouldn't be all that interested in broadcasting that everywhere you went.
No.
By the same token, even if we had a unique identifier that was, shall we say, more obscure,
right,
that can still be used for purposes of tracking someone.
That's right.
It can still be used for purposes of cloning an ID card.
Right.
It can still be used for purposes of accessing a database and matching that unique identifier with information in the database.
Right.
Let's suppose you wanted to go to an anti-war rally at the University of California, and
right,
let's suppose California had put RFID in driver's license.
Right.
How would you feel if you later discovered that the police had set up a reader and without your knowledge skimmed that card, knew who the 2,500 people were at the rally, and had taken those unique identifiers and matched them with a DMV database?
I'd be worried.
Not that good. From a different political perspective, how would you feel if you were attending a gun show at the local county fairgrounds and discovered that RFID was in your driver's license and that the police had put up a reader and had the list of the 2,500 people who'd gone to the lawful gun show?
I have to say I'm more likely to go to the rally at Berkeley than
well,
I am at to the gun show,
but well,
I'd be equally worried. I'd be equally worried if I wanted to go to the gun show, certainly. So, in fact, this technology has the ability to put a LoJack tracker in everyone's wallet.
That's right. And there are protections that we can provide. That's what the bill requires. But it also says, you know, at some level, let's look before we leap. That's the phrase I used before, and I think it's an apt one. Before we start talking about millions of California driver's licenses or government benefit cards that put that kind of broadcast. You know, do I understand that there are limitations to what the technology can do? Yes, I do. But I also understand that the technology gets smaller and cheaper and stronger with every passing day. That's the wonderful thing about technology. It also means that we need to exercise some caution.
Does this concern that you've just raised here at this level mean that there may be reasons why it might be advisable never to put this kind of tracking device in people's wallets?
I think it does, but that debate needs to, but whether you agree with me or not, I think we can all agree that's a debate that ought to happen before we go down this path. That's why I've suggested the 3-year moratorium before we even consider allowing that to happen. Interestingly, the federal government has had an on-again, off-again love affair with RFID for passports.
Right.
We saw a move towards using RFID in U.S. passports. Then when these concerns were raised by, you know, business travelers, not a particularly, far-out group of folks, but
right.
people who were concerned about their privacy and their security when they traveled abroad, the State Department backed off. Now the State Department appears to be looking at an approach that uses essentially metal threads to shield the RFID against some external reader, meaning that only if you opened up the passport, presented it, would it be read. But that experience tells you that this is a more complicated set of issues than is perhaps first apparent. That's why I think California and other local governments here need to step back a bit and say, let's go slow.
Our technical listeners will know that's recognize that as a Faraday cage.
That's exactly what it is. It's a Faraday cage, and as I say, it's one approach that the State Department now appears to be taking, but the very fact that they started off in one direction and then did an about-face tells you that this is something that you ought to be very careful about how you use.
Okay, two other things. If I could just go back to the federal versus state issue, the Real ID Act, which was passed, has language in it that requires a common machine-readable technology in state driver's licenses in order to be eligible to serve as federal ID. I'm wondering whether you're worried that the terms of the federal regulation, which haven't been specified yet, might require the state to put RFID into driver's licenses, and on the same basis by which the federal government has declared California laws dealing with, say, medical marijuana must take the back seat to federal laws about medical marijuana, whether the your bill, even if it passes, might be subordinated to the Real ID Act, which could require the presence of RFID on California driver's licenses.
I think there are a couple of things that should assuage any concerns about incompatibility. The first is the notion of federal preemption, which you've raised. We know that in our federal system, the feds get to call the shots, and the states, more often than not, have to follow their lead. The second observation, though, is that this may be all the more reason why it makes sense for California to make a statement about its concerns before the federal government puts regulations in place. Let's lay out the case at a state-by-state level that there's cause for concern, and I think the bill would do that as well. There are, of course, other machine-readable technologies that might be appropriate. Could be an optical scan, could be a magnetic swipe, could be a two-dimensional barcode. I don't presume to make that judgment, but I do think we ought to be looking at other available technologies. If, in fact, ultimately the federal government suggests we go the RFID route, then maybe the fact that there's a bill like this one will stop and cause some discussion about whether or not the protections of the sort I've identified, encryption, authentication, perhaps the very Faraday cage or metal threads that we're talking about for passports, might be incorporated into any such requirement.
So in fact, your goal of getting a discussion going on these issues is in part being served by the very existence of this bill, whether it passes, if it passes, to get more discussion going about these issues.
Yeah, I think, for what I've tried to say politely to our opponents on this is, look, you're kidding yourselves if you think that this issue, or me, I am going away anytime soon. This is a real issue. It's not one that should be overstated, but it's one that raises legitimate concerns. As I said earlier, I think the industry would be well advised to acknowledge those concerns and work to address them. Instead, the industry has taken the view that anyone who raises a question is somehow an opponent of the technology. That's not only silly, it's disingenuous. I'm a Silicon Valley legislator. I was the American Electronics Association's high-tech legislator of the year a few years ago. No one is more appreciative of the importance of technology than I am and the many good uses to which it can be put. That being said, let's make sure that we remember that a technology is only as good as the use to which it's put, and that not every technology is appropriate for every application.
Have there been any fora, discussions, public discussions about these issues involving, say, you and the industry?
Not too much. We've had the public debates in the legislative process and in committee, where the industry has come to various committee meetings to oppose the legislation. And as I say, it's been frustrating because I think my office and I have worked hard to try and find common ground, and certainly the bill is very different than the one you and I discussed when it first passed the state Senate. But none of that seems to have assuaged the concerns of the industry. I think part of the reason is because some of the folks in the industry don't want this discussion to take place. And some of the people in the industry worry that if California takes this important first step, others may follow. I think trying to hide the issues or sweep them under the rug, if you will, is a mistake. I think ultimately the successful application of any technology depends on an appreciation of its benefits and its risks and a willingness to address it in that way.
Okay, you're trying to make the technology and the democracy compatible. I want to thank you for that. If it's possible, I'm going to try to get someone from the industry to do a joint interview with you here. Would you be willing to do that?
I'd love to do it. And let me just offer this observation. I have been particularly disheartened by folks who say that this is somehow an effort to ban the technology and that we ought to ban bad behavior and not ban the technology. Nothing could be further from the truth, and I don't mean to be harsh, but I think the industry knows that nothing could be further from the truth. Any technology has its appropriate applications and its inappropriate applications. The state of California has purchased a lot of shovels, but we don't use them for employee discipline. That's not an appropriate use of that low-tech technology. Many of us support additional research and development in the pharmaceuticals arena, but that's because we want to save lives. It's not because we think it's appropriate to then use those drugs for recreational purposes. That doesn't mean I'm hostile to the development of pharmaceutical knowledge and research. It means that I think there's an appropriate way to use those drugs in an inappropriate way. Different example might be, if you're a NASCAR fan and you know that there's technology that allows those cars to go around the track at 250 miles an hour, but that technology isn't street legal because we've made a decision that there's some safety concerns. And just recently, the Supreme Court, by a unanimous verdict, said, you know what, if you're making file-sharing software that is designed to steal other people's intellectual property, that's unlawful. That wasn't because the Supreme Court was hostile to the technology. It was because the Supreme Court said there are appropriate and inappropriate uses for this technology. That's what this debate is really about. And I'd hope that the industry would get back to a serious debate about the kinds of benefits and risks that RFID can provide when used in government identity documents.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for providing a model of sanity and subtlety in the ongoing evolution of both how we're governed and what technologies we use. So,
well, thanks so much for your interest, and I hope you'll stay in touch.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.